It's 7:41 now. A stunning revelation that three high-profile murders in Alexandria all could be linked. We heard this from police yesterday as they continue to search for a gunman. They do have a sketch, but they do not yet have a suspect. And joining us live is former FBI profiler Clint Van Zandt. Clint, always great having you with us because you understand this stuff in a way that we all want to. Tell me, as you look at the three victims here and the fact now that Alexandria police haven't affirmatively said for sure all three are linked, but they do suspect that's the case, can you tell something about why these people were the targets of killings?
Well, part of the challenge in this is going to be linking the victims together. A profiler or an investigator is going to talk about victimology. What made these two or three individuals more susceptible to be victims? And we know in each case, they were killed daylight, they were killed in their own homes, they were killed in a relatively close by neighborhood. All of these things should contribute to safety, not to making someone a victim. So therefore, what connects the three? And I think law enforcement was probably quick in their minds to connect the last two within the last couple of months. But now they're reaching back to the murder of sheriff's wife over 10 years ago that many thought they had other suspects for that. Well, if you link that 10-year-old crime, you have to ask yourself, where was, if it's the same shooter, we're told it's possible, possibly the same gun. If the same person used that gun, what was he doing 10 years ago? What has he done the last 10 years? And what's caused him to surface like some U-boat out of World War II to start looking for victims again, to include the two latest victims?
Do you have any notions on that? Do you have any notions on that, Clint?
Well, many times people will suggest, well, if there's this long period of time between these crimes, knowing that the definition of a serial killer is someone who kills three or more people with an emotional cooling off period in between. I mean, 10 years is a significant period. So when you account for that, you say, well, the shooter left the area right after the murder of the sheriff's wife, or he was in jail, or something other significant happened to his life. But that's okay. That explains why he quit shooting, perhaps, or move that shooting to another area. Realize that we have 15,000 homicides in the United States every year. A lot of them aren't accounted for. But now we have the two in the same area again. This shooter appears, if it's the same person, to live, work, pass through the area of these two most recent crimes, probably on a fairly frequent basis. He knows the area, and more importantly, area people should know him. This is not the invisible man. He's out there. People are going to know him. But now he's seen the sketch likely of himself. He could shave. He could dye his hair. He could be wearing dark glasses. He could get rid of the coat. And as important, he could get rid of the weapon that the police chief yesterday suggested might link all these three crimes together.
Clint, you're saying one thing that's raising a red flag for me. You're saying he could and that it's a man. How can you be sure of that?
Well, we have the description at the last shooting site where we're told it was this older white male with a beard. That was a bit, for which the sketch was produced. So we know we have a witness that says it was a man at our front door who shot my friend down, shot my daughter down. So we've got that description. If, in fact, that same weapon, then, if we could put that in the hand in November, then we have the shooter again. I mean, it starts to get really diabolical, almost like a TV show. If you say that gun was used 10 years ago by person A, maybe in November by person B, and maybe last month by person C, that gun's being hand around in some type of group or organization. I think law enforcement, first of all, is going to try to put that gun at the same scene. They say, as best they can, small caliber handgun appears to be the same type of weapon, round. The next thing they have to do is say, what do these three people have in common mm-hmm. that could link them together? Did they shop at the same grocery store? Did they go to the same church? Where could their paths have crossed the path of this killer? And the most frightening thing, I think, for the investigation and for the community is if this turns out to be totally random, if there was nothing connected, he just went up, or she, if we don't know the other two, the shooter goes up to a random door, knocks on the door, and shoots the first person that answers the door. But if that's the case, why haven't we heard of other doors
right.
that were knocked on in the two neighborhoods where the shootings took place most recently?
So looking at all the facts here, do you worry that this person who may have been in jail or indisposed for a period of time but is now obviously back out could strike again and might reach out for another victim?
I think it's highly likely. Let me rephrase that. I think it's very possible that if this is the handiwork, the terrible handiwork of one individual, at least the last two shootings, that this person is capable of doing this again. Now, one thing that's going to stop it is just what you guys are doing right now. Publicity out there, make the public aware, make sure everybody has seen that sketch or drawing of the suspect in this. But again, if this guy is just not really, really crazy, if he's not just so confused and he's not following the media, the press, or anything else, he'll look the same. If he's following the press, he'll change his physical appearance. But then the question is, if he's struck in November and last month, when and why will he strike again? Mm-hmm. I think it was good advice by the police for the entire community. When you hear a knock at a door you're not expecting, you know, look through the door, look through a window before you open that door. But don't consider anybody walking through your yard or a high school kid cutting through your yard at night or anything. This is not a time to start people who have guns just shoot at somebody at random because you saw somebody in your yard. This is a time to be diligent. We have to be careful, but we don't want to contribute to these terrible situations.
All right. Clint Van Zandt, former FBI profiler, you really are the man on this. Thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us.